And now on the line, I have our very own Maura Devine, and all our listeners will know Maura from her show, Showtime. Good afternoon, Maura.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks very much for taking the call.
Funny to be on this end of the line.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's weird. You know, the 25th anniversary of Near FM is coming up.
I just can't believe that. That means I'm 25 years older.
Yeah, and have you been here since the beginning, Maura?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah?
I started off, Moira Stowe, God be good to her, was one of the first broadcasters there. She used to do a literary programme, and the station had only set up, and she came to me one night. I thought she was a friend of mine, but it turned out she came to me, and she just said that we were having a cup of coffee, so there was this new station had started, and they were doing, you know, all sorts of different programmes, but that there was a kind of a void for classic and operatic music.
Yeah.
And she had recommended me to take over the spot. Now, I mean, I nearly had a heart attack. To do a radio show was just never. Sport would have been my big thing, and music, but to sit down and do a live radio show just wasn't on my agenda at all. But at any rate, Maura being Maura and persuasive and wouldn't take no for an answer, and said to give it a try. So I agreed and started off. The first programme I did was called Pop Opera.
Yeah.
I have a theory. People say to me they know nothing about opera. But if you watch television at all or listen to the radio, a lot of the ads have opera-based music behind them. So while you could say to me, John, you know nothing about opera,
yeah,
I would play a piece and you would instantly recognise it. You may not have recognised it as an opera piece, but now you know something about opera. So that was the theme on which I worked. And I played very much pop opera back in the old studio. Hadn't a clue how to work the desk. A lad called Owen Fitzpatrick used to work it for me. And I used to play the records, and I had to do a few interviews. And then one day, I was told there was nobody to work the desk for me.
And
a heart attack wasn't it?
Thrown in at the deep end.
And I was told I had been watching it forever, and to go and do it, push up that button, push down that button, and go ahead.
Yeah, and it's a bit daunting, isn't it, when you come in and you sit behind the
desk?
Yeah,
at that stage, anyway, the room was very, very small. I mean, social distancing would have been a huge issue.
Yeah.
Also, there was no smoking ban. And, like, the smell in the room was overpowering anyway because of the smoke and everything else, the size of it. And one desk in front of you. panic.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, yeah.
Yeah. I got through it and dreaded going in the next week, knowing I had to do it at this stage.
Yeah.
And trying to get my... Because if you were doing the desk for me and it was coming towards... You know, you could judge time and stuff, where I hadn't a clue on that. I just played records or CDs. And but as I say, I got through it. So we went then from pop opera, which was an evening programme, and then I was asked, would I do kind of an hour around tea time? Which I did. But I just have to tell you, as I said before, I used to do various interviews.
Yeah.
But PJ Gallagher happens to be one of my son's best friends. And PJ was starting out. He was established. He was doing the naked camera, whatever he did. And I said, look, I need to give the programme a bit of a, you know, people to listen to it. To realise that it's not just opera music I'm doing, like that there is a variety in it. PJ, will you ever do me the interview, huh?
That was a great contact to have.
But there was two chairs in the studio, one of which creaked like mad. And PJ was sitting on the creaked chair. And he kept rocking it and making noise, and then he keeps saying, this is in the middle of the interview, he said, listeners, could you help me, please? Maura Devine is holding me here against my will. She has me And I'm supposed to follow that up with opera music. I said, I don't think I've forgiven him yet. But then, as I say, we went moved on to the next programme, and then that went on for quite a long time. I did kind of a six-ish, around six-ish, and it became a bigger programme and much more variety of music. You know, I went into the shows and that at that stage. And then they asked me, would I do an hour and a half at the 2 o'clock slot? Alan joined in the middle of all of this. I used to give Alan a lift home every so often when I was, if I finished at the same time as he did. And he was only a young boy then.
Yeah.
So he's kind of stayed on the course anyway. And then that's when I followed on Ray Kennedy, God be good to poor Ray.
Yeah.
And that's when I was christened the Divine, Maura Divine. Ray got a great crack out of that.
I say he did, yeah. And so, that was Showtime.
That's the Showtime, the show I did after Christmas.
Yeah.
And that became very much a mixed bag. I would do the first, it was an hour and a half, so the first half hour would be Johnny Cash, all, you know,
yeah,
that type of country and western and all of that. The second half would nearly always be from the shows, and then the third would be opera. I would indulge myself on the third part.
Yeah, a big fan of opera.
Yeah, well, I was with the Dublin Grand Opera Society for 35 years, so I cut my teeth in a very hard school, but it was great.
Yeah, and did you do get any training back in the day, or were you just
I just went in one day and told there's nobody to do the desk for you.
Yeah.
And just sit down and do it. I mean, there was very little training. I mean, it was very much a new, everyone was really feeling their way.
Yeah.
Because it was new. I'd say Maurice Doe was a great reader, and she did a lot of, she used to write articles and write poetry, and but as far as radio's concerned, she'd be as good as me having a cup of coffee, and that'd be it. And no, there wasn't. I suppose the funds probably weren't there. They probably got, I don't know. I mean, they took me in off the street, and nobody
took you in off the street.
Nobody said, "Can you do it, or can't you do it, or what?"
Yeah.
It was just Moira Stowe recommended me, and they said, "Well, that's a good idea. We've a slot to fill," and that's how it started.
The rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history. I had a few very. I used to keep my CDs. Nolan's is our local supermarket, and I used to keep my CDs in a Nolan's bag and bring them up. And one day I picked up the wrong Nolan's bag from the kitchen table and got up to the studio, opened the bag, no CDs. And as you know, John, there isn't an awful lot of classical music or opera music on the library there. And there was less in those days.
So how did you manage?
Talk about winging it.
Yeah.
A total, absolute nightmare. But I got through it. And then another day I bought, over when Golden Discs was over in Artain Castle, it was coming up to Christmas, and I got a lovely double CD. And when I got to open the CD, which I should have done at home anyway and checked out, but I didn't, the wrong CDs were in the cover.
And it wasn't.
So I had two CDs with a list of tracks, but the tracks and the CDs didn't match up. So I was in the new studios at that stage, and we had the two desks. So what I had to do there was I played the CD and then announced what it was.
Yeah.
That was an hour and a half of that tests the nerves.
Yeah, it's a great experience, though, isn't it?
But the whole thing, you know. That kind of experience.
You know, the good and the bad.
But it's things like that that made it. And then, like, as I went on, you know, the same people would send you in texts and requests, and you got to know what people would like, and you'd play them. Like, might as well put in a few names here now.
It's
like the Barker All from The Tales of Hoffman, Joe and Carmel Potter down there in Kilbarrick always wanted that one. And then we went across, you know, we can be heard out in Bohorna Breena.
Really?
Yeah, I've a couple out there, the Kellys, and they would always like Gilbert and Sullivan. But like, my sister gets us when she's going home. She lives in Dundalk, and when she's going home, she gets us beyond Drogheda. And we can't get it here in Clontarf. At least I can't get it. I have to listen to it on the computer.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And mad. And I have got it out as far as Talla as well. And then, of course, we had Ursula Brady. Hi, Ursula.
Yeah, Ursula's has been texting in earlier.
Yeah, well, look, she's the sweetest person. She really is.
Yes, did she used to come into you?
She did. She'd every so often she'd bounce in and always bandbox perfect. She'd put you to shame, really, because it was radio. And then when it became on webcam, then you see you had to brush the hair. That was another step.
Yeah.
But Ursula was. She comes in, and I really miss the station.
Yeah.
But it was just got to a stage where I was, you know, something would turn up here, and I was cancelling out more often than I was going in, which wasn't fair on anyone. Then poor Niamh would have to rush around and get somebody to fill in for me at very short notice, and it just got that.
Yeah, well, you're missed, as you know, Maura, and
I'm glad somebody misses me. They used to love it here when I was going out for 2 hours. the whole thing, the new setup there is just fabulous, and like I'd forgotten I used to do games analysis as well. That was another thing.
Games analysis.
Go up to Parnell Park for the matches.
All right.
And yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
With Fergus, was Fergus around?
No, it was before Fergus.
Yeah.
And we'd go up and do the I'd do the games analysis during the championship games, the GA.
There's somebody you forgot about. And you were into sports, as you said earlier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had one great summer here. Two of my lads played on the Dublin junior team. One of them also played on the senior hurlers. Another son was on the Dublin Minors, and my daughter's on the under 14s.
So the whole family.
Best summer of my life. I clocked up about 500 miles a week bringing them to training sessions, and it was brilliant.
Yeah. So the whole family were involved.
Oh yeah, always have been. I believe I was at my first match in January. I was born at the end of November, and the only reason I wasn't at a match in December is because it was a closed season. So I never knew anything else.
That's fantastic, and you ended
great.
You ended up
and I was on the county board disciplinary committee and that for a long time as well. So that was my other side, and I'd forgotten I actually did the bit of sport there as well.
Yeah, there you are. Is there any standout memories, Maura? We all, you know, whether it be a mistake you made or something funny
mistakes.
That happened.
I mean, my top comment would be that this proves it's live radio.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, probably the worst one was the time I arrived up with no CDs. That was nightmare.
Yeah, I'd say that was hard.
And I was doing an hour at the time. Luckily enough, I wasn't doing the hour and a half. And I got in. I nearly got sick. I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't. At the end of the day, I kind of got that I could take telephone calls and that. And I did a lot of that as well. But at that stage, I barely knew how to work the two desks. And invariably, if I had a double CD, and I'd have CD one in one desk and then CD two in the other, and I'd automatically call out that I'm playing track six, Traviata drinking song, and I'd press the wrong button, and it would be something from Don Carlo or something. That was a regular occurrence. But the day I arrived up with no CDs, and I didn't know how to get into the library. Somebody gave me a very quick do this, and I didn't even know half the tunes that were on it, and I was playing by ear. And, you know, you'd have something now, say it was Blue Suede Shoes, I'd know that was Elvis, but there could be something else, and I'd say, I'm now playing such and such. And I wouldn't have a clue who the singer was, or if the desk at work.
Yeah, and it's gas. There are some presenters now who are listening to us, and we're talking about CDs. I use CDs myself, and they're saying, "What are you talking about CDs? They don't even use CDs. They use
no, they don't. Yeah. They were always at me to put my stuff on a stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at all. Wouldn't I would have to use my CDs.
Yeah,
and like Ray Kennedy and myself, we decided that we weren't going to move. We were going to be the stuffy old ones. We're going to stick with our CDs. And but that was that I think was probably the worst. Another thing was that I was always afraid of, because I used sing along to the CDs, and I was always afraid I'd forget to put down the key.
That
would be heard all over the world.
Yeah, well, a lot of things have been heard.
It didn't happen, thank goodness.
A lot of things have been heard because we didn't pull down faders when we were supposed
to. Oh, stop. Overall, I think what happens is you just get through whatever happens on the day. You know, you're going to, like, you've got me on the phone now, but you've got an interview lined up, and the next thing you can't get through to it, or they can't get through to you, and you're left there because you've that slot ready to fill in.
Yeah.
And there's nobody at the other end of the line. You've no music. You know, you've played your introductory piece and you haven't had time to change and put in another CD. So you're left in no man's land.
Yeah, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, then I'd panic and say, where do I go from here? Another time, I was on a call and forgot to cut it off at the end, you know, the way you press the red button to disconnect it. And I had somebody on the line, God knows how long, and they couldn't make a call, and you know,
the phone was
engaged. But nothing terribly disastrous. I never spilled coffee over the machines or anything like that.
No, mortal sin.
Mortler. But the one thing then was dead air. That was one of the things you were always afraid of.
Yeah, that's another mortler.
Yeah, really mortler.
Yeah.
And then an awful lot of my pieces would start off very, very quietly. And you'd have a charge in from the office because nothing would be coming through. But they would be playing.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
You know, the operatic stuff now would start off very quietly. And then if you turn it up that it can be heard from the beginning, then you're going to blast out at the other end. So, I don't think there was anything. Like I said, there were more alarming for me than something that happened going out. Now, Kieran or Alan or somebody will probably remember something big boo-boo I made, but that's tough. I'm not, or Sally even, I'm not going to admit to it.
So, have you enjoyed your time with Neil?
Loved it.
Yeah.
I miss it. I do miss it. I miss it big time. And as I say, I miss the connection with. It's amazing the number of people would send you in messages and that. And you think, I said one time that I got a lovely message from somebody, and I always kind of said, well, gosh, I thought once my mother died, God be good to her, that I'd have no more fans. But.
Yeah.
No, and you get, like, you know, Ursula popping in, you had a name and a face to match. But, you know, to meet the people was lovely too. And then towards the end of last year, I got a lovely present of a Maria Callas interview CD that I absolutely treasure.
That's lovely.
Just got it, and as I say, it's something that I play regularly in the car. It's something that, I don't know how many copies were made of it, but it's certainly a very, very precious thing to me. And, you know, Toddy was another one. God be good to poor Toddy.
Yeah,
he was in and out. And because my birthday was the day after the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, yeah.
I got a birthday card from Toddy every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was so big into the Kennedys.
And the boxing.
Yeah. Like, things like that meant a lot, and I do miss it. Charging in at the last minute and having, but I would always prepare. And like when I would play an opera piece or even a show, I would often just concentrate on one show for a section of the program, and you know, give the story of the show and throw in pieces of music that interspersed with it. I love doing that, and the same with an opera. If you're playing an opera piece, you explain the story behind it, because most of it being in French or Italian, people aren't going to get the meaning of the words anyway, so they need to have some idea of what is going on in the tune.
Yeah, and that's also great, isn't it, when you get a bit of feedback or somebody's
lovely. You know,
and somebody says thanks for that interview or thanks for playing that request.
And if Ursula hadn't phoned me, and I'd be worrying about her being sick and that.
Yeah.
But she doesn't look after herself well enough, that girl.
Yeah, oh, she's a character, all right.
She's lovely. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, I'd do a programme maybe on Mario Lanza and go through his career, or Geely, or some of these. Ray Kennedy and myself had an ongoing battle. He loved Bocelli.
Yeah.
I told him he wasn't a tenor at all. And then I'd play something for Ray on his way home, which would always be Pavarotti.
Yeah.
Or Jonas Kaufmann.
Yeah, and it's great. You build relationships with colleagues and
make
friends. And
well, that's it. And, you know, even in and out, and you pop into the office and say hello and see Debbie and Alan and Sally. Well, a whole lot of them in there.
Yeah.
And Niamh, of course, there is keeping you all in shape now.
She certainly is.
Good for her.
Now, as you know, we're coming up to the 12:30 mark, so we're we're running out of time. Is there anything now you'd like to add before we
That I miss you all, and say hello to everyone for me.
Yes, and as
I said,
to
all the listeners, and thank them for over 20 years of listening, because I can't believe it's 25 years, and it's no length ago since the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, that's true. Time is flying. It's gone too
quick. Oh, it is. And one of these days I'll maybe fill in for somebody who can't fill in a programme. But the best of luck with all the celebrations. And he's hoping that near 90 will be there for another 25 years.
Well, we don't know anything about celebrations at the moment, or the way things are. But
well, the way things are at the moment, it's tough.
As I said, you're missed and your shows are missed. And you should drop in. Say hello, Marta.
Well, I had fully intended, and then all of this I was going to pop
crazy
in at Easter. This happened then, sure, and we were totally cocooned. But I would love to maybe go back and do a show once or twice, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that can be organised.
Where there's a blank space.
Yeah.
And I say, in the meantime, thanks to everyone for all their help over the years, because, crikey, I did need help, especially in the beginning. When we moved into the new studios and I looked at those desks,
it's
my
frightening.
My heart just went into my boots.
Yeah. And then it becomes second nature to you.
You need people.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest thing I could say. You need people to be there and to smile at you and to get you going.
Yeah, give you the thumbs up.
And I always had that in there.
Okay, Maura, I'd say we could probably go on talking for the next half hour of the show. But
I did warn you.
Listen, it's been lovely talking to you, Maura.
John, and thanks for asking me.
You're more than welcome. And as I said, stay in touch.
Okay. Will do indeed.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Maura. Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.